Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of the news stories from this past week, the one from Phnom Penh captured my attention throughout the course of the week. Just 11 days ago, I was standing right where this tragedy that took 378 lives this past week in that city took place. There were preparations that were being made while I was there for the water festival, Loy Krathan. This is a major celebration in any Buddhist country. Hundreds of thousands of people in Cambodia come out of the hills and the tribes where they live, and they come into the main city, capital city, for this festival. And so the city swells with people, filled with fireworks and boat races, and it all centers around offerings that people make to the water god, who lives in the main river that goes right through the city of Phnom Penh, the Mekong River. Evidently, there's a little island off the coast of the river, off the beach, called Diamond Island, where a lot of people like to go to observe the fireworks and the boat races. Footbridge goes over, and somehow, for some reason, a wall of people coming off of the island was met by a wall of people going onto the island, and the bridge began to sway, and a panic broke out. Some people fell, they were smothered, others were crushed, some jumped, 378 in all lost their lives. Terrible tragedy. In our Old Testament reading for this morning, the prophet Isaiah has a vision of a stream of people who are making their way to a very special site as well, called the Mountain of the Lord. Isaiah says, all nations and will flow to it, and many people shall come to it. They're people who are on a holy pilgrimage to a holy destination. They're headed to the place where God is located, the Mountain of the Lord. Lots of religions use mountaintops as the place where their God is located and where he lives. The higher the mountaintop signifies, the more powerful and the more authoritative their God, the higher the mountain is. So in Greece, the highest mountain is Mount Olympus, and that's where Zeus is located. He's the chief god of the Greek pantheon. The Israelites lived among nations of people who worshiped gods who were located on mountaintops. And so they were familiar with this whole concept. When Isaiah says that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, what he means to say is that this God of Israel is not just like any other God, but that he is higher than all of the rest. And so he has more power than all of the other gods. In fact, he is almighty. And he has more authority than all of the other gods. In fact, all authority is his. All the nations shall flow to this one, and all the peoples of the earth shall come to it. Isaiah says that the name of the mountain that everyone is moving towards is Zion. In the Hebrew language, the word Zion literally means highest point. Mount Zion is the place where the Lord, the God of Israel, is located. The Israelites, in history, actually, named a place Mount Zion. And it was the place where the temple was built. It was the place where the temple was located. And so anytime anyone from Israel said they wanted to go to the temple, it was always to go to Mount Zion, because that is where their God was located. That is where he could be found by his people. And that is also where he invited his people to come and have communion fellowship with him and with one another. Now, ironically, this place on the map in Jerusalem that is called Mount Zion, where the temple is located, ironically, this is not a very high mountain at all. In fact, it's barely a hill. It's just a little bump in the geography. Yet in both of the Old and the New Testaments, what we read is every time anyone says that they're going to Jerusalem to go to the temple, they always go up to the temple. Even if they're coming from a higher elevation to a lower one, they still go up to the temple. You see, it's It's not the Most High Mountain that makes the God there so special. It's the Most High God that makes the place where he dwells so special. In fact, even though the God of Israel is indeed the Most High God and who dwells on the highest mountain, he actually lives among us in a very lowly place so that no one has to climb up in order to get to him. Rather, he comes down in order to get to us. So Isaiah invites us now to eavesdrop in on the conversation that is taking place amongst these people who are making their way to the mountain of the Lord. They say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." Folks, this is what evangelism is. It's not a program and it's not a catchy slogan. It's simply people who are inviting their neighbors and their friends to come with them to the house of the Lord so that we may learn his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. Simple as that. There's a twofold purpose for the people's wanting to come to the mountain of the Lord. First, so that he may teach us his ways. And second, so that we may walk in his paths. So they're not out for knowledge just for the sake of knowledge, or information for the sake of information. They want to be taught this word of the Lord and his ways so that they may walk in his paths, so that it may have an effect upon their life, so that it may change the course of their life, so that his word might put a new direction to things and put them on a whole new path through life. You see, proper teaching produces proper living. They had indeed listened to many other gods, just like all those around them had done. They listened to the god of material possessions, and they walked in its way. They listened to the god of financial security, and they strove to walk in its way. They listened to every god that called out to them, and they walked in every way that seemed right to them. Yet they were always searching for another voice, another way, always seeking, never finding, always knocking. Nothing seemed to be open to them, always disappointed. So often, it seemed to them, it all turned out to be nothing more than a clever marketing scheme to sell more books and attendance at more conventions. But there now comes another word, and this word comes from Mount Zion. It comes out from Mount Zion, and it is a different word, because it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. Come to me, all you who are seeking but never finding, knocking but never getting the answers you're looking for. Come to me, and I will open the door for you. Come to me, and you will enter into my peace and into my rest, and you will find satisfaction for your life." So the word goes out from Zion, and it's a bright light that shatters the darkness. We didn't even realize that we were living in the darkness until this word opened our eyes. We didn't even know that we were living in a lie, putting our hope in false promises, until this word from Zion came to us full of truth and grace. It was only because this word from the house of Jacob came to us that our hearts were changed, that the direction of our life turned. It's now headed in a new direction. And now we live a life that's marked by constant turning and a life of repentance. Now we want this word to teach us, because we want to walk in its paths. To walk in his paths means to trust his judgment, especially when it contradicts our own. Our judgment is all tangled up with selfish concerns, our prejudices. Our vision is limited, so it's hard for us to judge rightly. All we can see is today and what's right in front of us. We can't see what lies in the distance. It's only a guess, the future. We forget our past really easily. But the God of Zion, he is lifted up far above all of the hills. He sits at the highest place, which means that he sees it all. He sees the past, he sees the present, and he sees the future. And so his judgment is perfect, and it's pure, and it's righteous, and it's good. And so those who come to Mount Zion, and those who listen to the word that comes from Mount Zion, and those who strive to walk in his path, come to this most sensible of all conclusions. He shall judge between the nations, and he shall decide disputes for many peoples. Justice and judgment belongs to the Lord. He will settle things, and he will do it fairly. He will do it with equity. He knows where the truth lies in every disagreement, every quarrel, every battle, and every war. And so these people simply leave the judging up to him, which leaves them free to love not only one another, but also their neighbors and also their enemies. There's no more need for sword, spear, in order to settle disputes. The prophet sees a world in which everyone listens to the word of Zion, from Zion, and walks in his path, no exceptions. And proper teaching here produces proper living. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, nor will they make war anymore. I certainly do not have to tell you all that this is not the picture of the world in which we live in today, is it? The prophet seems to see a world unlike the world that we live in, a world where everyone believes in this word that comes from Zion, and everyone walks in its path. The prophet sees a utopian world where there is peace on earth and goodwill toward men, and everyone goes to church. This is what he sees, and he sees it in a time that he calls the latter days. These latter days that the prophet foresees are the days in which we now live. They've already come. And you and I live somewhere in between the beginning and the end of the latter days. In our gospel reading for this morning, our attention was directed to just one man who is coming to Zion. His name is Jesus, and he is coming to the place where God is located, to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And if you can believe this, all the nations of the world and all the peoples of the world are somehow all wrapped up in this one man. They're all coming to Mount Zion. The Most High God sees the whole world coming to Zion in Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of what Isaiah saw is all contained in this one man. He alone holds the key that opens the door. He alone hears the word that comes from Zion, knows the truth that this word is, and walks in its path, because he alone is the word, and is the way, is the truth, and is the life, and no one comes to this mountain of the Lord except through him. He is the one in whom the Most High God executes perfect judgment for all nations, for every people. On Palm Sunday, the Lord came to his house in order to judge between the nations and decide the disputes of many peoples. All nations and every peoples were guilty of following false gods and putting their hope and their trust in false promises, and you and I are included in that number. The judgment was decided, and the dispute between God and his creation was settled. And it was settled like this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his stripes we are healed. Let this word then go out from Mount Zion, that the Lord has carried out perfect judgment upon himself. Every dispute that God has with you has been settled in the blood of Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. This is the good news that men and women from every nation and every race and every place in the face of the globe come to Mount Zion to hear. On the day of Pentecost, the word went out from Zion that God had reconciled the world to himself through this one man, Jesus Christ. He has borne the judgment for our sin in his own body on the cross. And to prove that that word is true, God raised him again on the third day. He is now ascended into heaven, but he will come again to judge the living and the dead, the believer and the unbeliever. So men from every nation on the face of the planet were present at the sound of that wonderful word. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 lives were changed forever, for eternity. And you can bet that each one of those men talked to their friends and their neighbors, and they said something like this to them: "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths." And who can begin to count the multitude that have come to Mount Zion since then? Isaiah's prophecy is being carried out even in our own day, and it will continue to be carried out until the last day comes. The day is surely coming when Isaiah's prophecy will be fully fulfilled. The second advent of Jesus Christ, his second coming, the coming that we really do celebrate in this season of Advent, is about to happen. We don't know when, but we do know it will. Then the same Jesus will come down to us, not humble, riding on a donkey, or hidden under bread and wine, but fully revealed in all of his power and all of his authority, riding on the clouds of heaven. And he will raise all the nations and every people, some to the highest height in heavenly Jerusalem, some to the deepest depths of hell. So St. Paul reminds us of the urgency to both listen to this word that comes from Zion and to walk in its paths and to speak this word to others. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. For salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. So let us cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. Or, as Isaiah said, "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." In the name of Jesus.